the Hill of Ares. On the Areopagus, the Hill of Ares, Mars, the Athenians held their courts of justice, very much in the mode Athena initiated for the tribunal that heard the case of Orestes v. the Furies. Only, of course, Aeschylus, in his play The Eumenides, which is my chief source for the trial of Orestes, took what was already idealized in his Athens and bestowed upon it a glorious divine precedence. He thereby gave Athenian judicial practice an origin story grounded in divine wisdom and will, which perhaps Aeschylus wanted to see restored, for the court was already pretty much in desuetude by his time. The orator and rhetorician Isocrates wrote his impassioned Areopagiticus in the mid-4th century BC, 100 years after Aeschylus, calling for the return of the court of the Areopagus again to a noble original form that never really existed. John Milton wrote his even more impassioned pamphlet Areopagitica, a plea for free speech, and the lifting of state censorship on printing in 1644. He uses biblical and other precedents to suggest that somehow there was a time of free speech from which the present day was moving away. But of course, printing was still relatively young when he wrote the pamphlet. There may have been a Wild West when the first presses rolled, something akin to the early free expression days of the internet, perhaps. But pushing the claim that unlicensed writing and speaking could have been a golden age virtue was a very Greek manoeuvre on Milton's part. But that is perhaps the greatest of all Greek tricks, idealism, the imagining of perfect Platonic forms and paradigms that can be posited and, once posited, pursued. Let us go back to the perfect age of the perfect Areopagus, skips the unfortunate truth that there never was such an age, nor such an institution. Nevertheless, the call inspires us all to imagine it and believe it to be worth striving for. We bring people on board with our new ideas by the trick of making them appear to be old ideas, validated and enshrined by time and precedent. Naturally, the real story of the Areopagus, a gathering of former archons — archons literally means rulers. In the case of the Areopagus, they were magistrates of noble birth who were at least smart enough to assemble in an odd number to avoid hung juries of the kind Athena had to adjudicate. That story is somewhat less glorious and ideal than Aeschylus, Isocrates, or Milton might have us believe. The court was democratized to some extent by Solon initially, and then seems to have slowly weakened over the years as power moved to the political assembly, the Ecclesia. Just because it's interesting, it's worth pointing out that St. Paul, on his travels around the Mediterranean, propagating and promulgating his new religion of Christianity, was himself hauled before the Areopagus by suspicious and curious Athenians. Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him, and some said, "What will this babbler say?" Other some, "He seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods," because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. And they took him and brought him unto Areopagus, saying, "May we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is? For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We would know, therefore, what these things mean." For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 17, verses 18 to 21.